if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clovercrest Media Group and CMG Podcast. We're also streaming live on StreamYard. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. How are you guys doing?
Chilling, you?
We good, baby. How's everything?
I'm doing good, man. You know, it's Wednesday and it's a good day so far. But, you know, we start today's show on a more of a serious note. You know, we are a sports talk show, but at the same time, we also like to touch on big media events that happened throughout, you know, the year. And there was big news that stirred up not only the news world, but also the sports world. You know, when Derek Chauvin, who was involved in the murder
George Floyd,
you know, he was found guilty on an unintentional second degree murder, third degree murder, and second degree manslaughter. You know, and I feel a lot of people feel like justice was served. You know, LeBron James came out, you know, with a single worded tweet that was just said enough, guys. Accountability. You know, I think that a lot of us is very happy to see how this all played out. You know, anybody who stood there long enough and watched the video could figure out that this man was just guilty, and we didn't really need much evidence to say to the contrary. So, Pride, yes, you know, I just want to hear your reactions to what's going on with this.
First and foremost, good. I hope he spends the rest of his life looking in a mirror, and I hope he regrets what he did. And I hope he looks at himself and says he deserves it. If you disagree with me, you're either stupid or racist. Pick whatever road you want. Pick whatever road you want. He ain't nobody special. He's a mortal man. And he thought it was fine to kill somebody. And it's kind of funny because they gave him an opportunity to speak. He knew he was in trouble. He knew he couldn't get out of it. So the man decided to plead the fifth. I don't care what nobody says. If I'm innocent, you will never catch me pleading no fifth. People are saying, "Oh my God, you're defending a drug dealer. You're defending a..." They try to slander his name. And I'm like, you know what? I'll be happy. I'll defend a drug dealer. I will defend a man who was trying to pass a counterfeit 20. You defending a murder. So who's really in the wrong here? And here's the part no one really want to talk about. The cops had, before they had him on the ground, they put him in the back of the cop car. Then they locked the door. See, when you're in a cop car, right? Now I'm speaking out of pure experience. When you're back there and you're cuffed, the doors are locked and there's a barrier. So I can scream to him black and blue in the face. I can't hit him. I can't do nothing. Guess what these intelligent human beings decided to do? He was so out of control. They dragged the man out of the cop car. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? In what logical world would it be okay for you to already have the dude? He's cuffed and he's in the back of your cop car. Why drag him out? Why drag him out? Makes no sense whatsoever. And the thing is, we need to stop this notion that if a cop fires his gun, his life was in danger. That's not the case. That is not the case. Just because a cop fires his gun doesn't mean his life was in danger. And people just want to say, oh, straight up, he said it perfectly, accountability. These police officers have power. So they need to be held even higher than a normal citizen. They need to be held to a higher standard. I don't know about you, but if I right now try to go and I try to go be a police officer, they will bash into your head. You're protecting the citizens. You represent us. You need to do the right thing, right or wrong. And here's the thing, whether you're a citizen or you're leading the army, doesn't matter. You could be the president of the United States and in between. There's still right and there's still wrong. Point blank, period. I'm glad he got around. I feel zero sympathy for him. I feel zero sympathy for his family. And I feel even less sympathy for the people trying to defend him, period. If it was me, I wish I could put the cuffs on him. Because I promise you that if I did that, there would have been fisticuffs going around. And I'm keeping it a buck. I'm keeping it 100. Homeboy did not. what he did was completely ridiculous, and to the people who defend him, you're morons. You're the morons or you're racist. Again, pick whatever road you want. I'll be more than willing to escort you down that road because I'm willing to hear all the ridicule. Let me tell you something. I went on Twitter, and the amount of stupidity coming from people, right? At first, it's no one's above the law until it's time to hold them accountable. Then all of a sudden, they're police officers. They're in a high-stressful situation. How is it a high-stressful situation when the man's in the cop car already? He's cuffed. There's no weapons. And then they try to say, oh, you know, if you look at the autopsy, for every one autopsy who says it was an overdose, there's four saying that it was because someone was on his neck. So I'm, like I said, bro, I'm glad. And I hope I hope every time he looks in the mirror, he understands he deserves it. And he's getting no sympathy from me and from about 90% of America.
Yeah, Pride. I'm with you, brother. I'm very happy that you said the things you said, because not a lot of people look at it from a point of view. You know, a lot of races of America, a lot of white of America, you know, first thing you want to do is go ahead and defend the blue. And it's not the case. I want to start saying rest in peace to George Floyd. I feel like justice has been served, but I feel like this would have been even better if George Floyd wasn't dead and he was still alive with us. But regardless, the man is going to be facing charges, you know, third degree murder, second degree murder, second degree manslaughter, and he's facing up to 40 years to the rest of his life in prison. So he's never going to see the light of day. And who's to know, with his situation, he'll even live to see the entirety of that sentence. So, and to be quite frankly, the guy has a lot of like looking older to do when he's in prison. And I don't blame nobody. This situation has been rough because, you know, every day we're getting stories of the police officers, you know, just taking another life. Just yesterday, just last week after the George Floyd thing, during the trial, there was a 13-year-old Mexican that was shot dead. There was a 6-year-old that was killed. And it's just, at some point, we have to understand that when your job as a police officer is not to shoot and kill anybody, your job as a police officer is serve and protect. And just don't understand why is it so hard for some police officers to train to shoot to disarm or shoot to disengage or to lower the heightened, you know what I'm saying, of suspense. Like if it's a situation that's very escalated, can you try and do something to de-escalate it? Can you stop shooting to kill these young kids, these young people? Because it's to the point where sometime in America, there are people going to shoot back. There's people, I'm afraid every time a situation like this happened, guys, like JJ Pride, every time something like this happens with George Floyd, I'm afraid there's going to be a revolt. Because I heard somebody say a while ago, I'm pretty sure you guys have heard this before too, a lot of people say, it's not happening more now. You guys are just seeing it more. And yeah. I feel like at what point are we going to, you know, just, you know, understand that we're here for each other. We're not here to take each other out, especially police officers. You guys work for us. We pay your salary. We pay taxes. We pay your salary. We are here to trust you guys. You can't blame us for not trusting you at all when things like this are happening. It's just sad. You know, to your point, Pride, I really do hope he lives every single day with regret. I hope he, every day, he can't go to sleep at night and it eats at him, because that was just a straight power. It was just straight a power show. Like, he just wanted to show that he had all the power in the situation. You have 9 minutes of him being on his neck. You have 9 minutes of people telling him he can't breathe. He's having trouble. And the guy still stood there. You telling me a man with hands behind his back and you're on his neck and you're feeling threatened? You have like 5 police officers around you. And another thing, those police officers around him, they should get something as well, because they did nothing help. They did nothing
to him. Oh, they will, though. They will.
So I heard one of them posted bond, and you know, they're still gonna be expecting trial. I throw, like, you know, one of our guys, Joe, said I throw 4 or 5 years at them. Minimum, at least. So things like this, cops can understand, you know what, is this the right thing to do? If you have to question if it's the right thing, it's not the right thing to do, man. So All I'm saying, and now I hear with this, with him being charged, I guess there's this George Floyd Act, this George Floyd Act now with, as civilians. I'm not sure, don't quote me, but I feel like I'm paraphrasing. If civilians see a police officer acting with excessive force and they are being recorded, the civilians have right to intervene and try and de-escalate the situation. So I'm not sure if that's 100% how it is, but that's like just me paraphrasing what it can be. So like going forward, I hope that this is the right step towards, you know, making progress with situations like this, because, you know, I'm tired of seeing people just getting killed by the police, especially when it's a traffic stop for a missing taillight should not lead to people getting murdered. So I feel like, you know, this America is making the right steps now to try and get to a better place. It takes time. So I'm just glad that this situation could have gone real bad, guys. This could have gone real bad. So I'm glad that America is opening their eyes and realizing the severity of the situation. And I'm glad that justice was served. I wish, you know, George Floyd was still with us. Rest in peace. But hopefully this is the proper steps to a better future.
Yeah, guys. And, you know, I just feel like nobody should feel like in the presence of a police officer, they should feel a fear that their life is in danger, you know. And, you know, to wrap things up, I just hope that George Floyd's family, you know, has some peace with this result coming out moving forward. And even though George is gone and he'll never be there, you know, the events after his death have really rippled into something much bigger than I'm sure not even him would anticipate would have happened. So with that being said, we'll move on to our next segment, which include the Nets and James Harden, guys. You know, he was doing a little bit to get back and boom. Had a little setback in his recovery, Sander. And, you know, these are your Nets. They just lost KD for a little bit. James Harden's going to be out for a little longer. You got Kyrie Irving as the lone star now out there, who's, you know, he's more than willing to put up 40 points on a given night, Sander. You know, he loves the solo show. But it's all about championship or bust for this Brooklyn Nets team this season. So do you think that they can remain a top seed in the East without these two guys and just Kyrie?
It's possible, and I think, you know, with the remaining schedule that they have, it's more than likely that they will finish a top three seed in the East without Harden and Durant. But it's not going to be easy. This team, you know, they managed to somehow keep winning games even though their major stars are not out there. So I'm not too worried about if they can stay atop of the East. It's just, you know, once they get back, once KD and James Harden gets back, can they, you know, can they fulfill what everybody expects them to fulfill? You got a lot of people having them coming out the East. And right now with the setback, that really caused some concern for me, because before the setback, I was expecting, you know, James Harden to come back. He was out for like 10 days. They had it like out for like 10 days. He was going to come back. So I wasn't expecting of it, but hearing this setback, I guess he re-aggravated the calf in practice. And I said on the show before, injuries like that to the legs, those linger always. They always linger. You're never fully healed for the season. So in the back of my mind, I knew something like this could happen because of the injury. Am I worried about them going forward if they're cleared come playoff time, guys?
Right. KD,
everything he's saying does not matter at all. Right. JJ, we've been screaming this for how long? We've been screaming this on a top of our lungs, and he was the first one to say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now all of a sudden it's an issue?
Now it matters a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't make no sense. You can't
see matters
now.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
Because the question says, will they still finish the East? And yes, they clearly will. Yeah, I am. I'm a little concerned. With more information that comes out, it's all the right to reserve to change how I expect things are going to turn out. That's common sense.
But don't sit there and say for KD and Kyrie, health is no issue. But when they were doing their whole thing, health wasn't an issue. Now all of a sudden James goes down. Now all of a sudden, go ahead.
I get it though, because now it's not two guys. Now it's all three.
So go ahead. What I'm trying to say is, okay, James Harden not being there, hopefully coming healthy playoff time, because Steve Nash did say that he will most likely be ready come playoff time. They're going to sit him. They're not even going to try and play the rest of the season. So he's going to be ready 100% for sure come playoff time. My thing is with that is, yeah, he'll come back come playoff time, but it's that injury that at any moment his thigh could go. Like, you could pull that hamstring at any moment. That's the only thing that I'm really concerned about, guys. James Harden's thigh. I really hope that he comes through. And, you know, what did he say? I like what you do. Listen, James Harden right now is the catalyst to this Brooklyn Nets team. They go as far as he takes them. So my little concern, playoff time, yes. But as far as finishing the season a top seed, I'm sure that they could finish the season a top seed. They've been doing it most of the season, KD and Harden played, but, you know, they were managing to win also without Harden. This team is very talented, guys. I just don't know Harden's injury. That's the only thing right there. That injury right there is the only question mark for me right now, because I know that the team is talented enough to still make a run. You just need James Harden back. That's really it.
All right, Brian.
Yeah.
First and foremost, everything you just said, I'm going to explain to you why I almost started laughing. I was this close laughing, this close. You're saying before, you said injuries don't matter. JJ, am I wrong? Because when we told you, KD, that's an issue, and not even injuries with Kyrie, this dude will go on a sabbatical for no reason. My man's out here passing gas, and he goes, oh, I got to take a leave of absence, and then he'll dip. We said this would be an issue. You said it would never be an issue. You said it doesn't matter. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, it's an issue. Do you understand why I'm
saying? I need you to be clear. I need you to be clear, though. What is
I'm being clear. You're switching lanes now all of a sudden. We're getting towards the end of the season. You want to switch lanes to try to act like you're calling something. Like, you're trying to be a bro. Me and Jay have been saying from day one, injuries are going to be an issue for this team. It's going to be an issue, especially considering when your best player on your team is constantly basically injured. So don't tell me all of a sudden before 2 weeks ago, injuries didn't matter. That's what you said. You said it wouldn't matter. Now all of a sudden injuries are the biggest thing that the Nets are fighting against. If you don't see the weirdness in that, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. Because one day the injuries
are common sense. These matter, though. It's common sense that injuries matter.
No. See, now you're trying to use that as common sense. But 2 weeks ago when we were saying that, you said we were being dramatic.
You guys said one player missing, which was KD. With Kyrie and James Harden
alone, we said AD and with Kyrie taking sabbaticals, you said that wouldn't matter. You said that doesn't matter, and then you said it doesn't matter. You said even with all the injuries in the world, you said this Nets team was still supposedly so phenomenal. I'm telling you what you said. So I just kind of find it funny how all of a sudden now injuries matter. That's weird to me. It's weird, especially when you called me stupid. And you violated the living mess out of me for saying injuries. You violated to the point where JJ, I almost retired from the podcast. He made me. I had to go to HR. I was this close to going to HR. This close. He had me crying. He had the crying Jordan face. That was my real life. But to the net, do I think they're going to be a top three team? No, I don't think so. I don't. And the reason I don't right now, with the main issue right now, if Kyrie had went down, I wouldn't care. I've said this before, and I will live by it. I believe much more in James and KD over than Kyrie and KD. That's just me. I personally, because the thing is, with Kyrie, can he get his own bucket? Sure. But what this team needs is a legitimate point guard. That's what James has been playing while he's been there. He's been playing like the legit point guard. When he first got there, they were playing like dog water because James was kind of just like, I'm not trying to step on nobody's toes or whatever. And then eventually, he ended up being the point guard, et cetera, et cetera. This team, are they going to be a bottom feeder? I don't think so. I don't think they're going to be a bottom feeding team. But to say they're going to win the East in the regular season, I can't see that. I genuinely can't. Even top three is like, I mean, they're going to have some stuff fall in their favor. Because the thing is, with James, it's so at first they said it was just like a hamstring. He just strained it. No big deal. He'll be back. Now the growing concern is that he tore it. Now that's what they're kind of bugged out about right now. That's so with him tearing it, that's a whole different thing. Because me personally, I've never experienced a torn hamstring ever in my life. I caught a cramp and that had me on the sidelines for like 3 weeks. Yeah. Now imagine it being torn.
I caught a good old cramp. We're like,
yeah. So you see what I'm saying? So that alone kind of kept me. Now imagine if you tear it. Imagine even if it's a tiny little tear, you're gonna feel it. So more than likely, they're probably not even gonna let James come back for the season, even if he's healthy. They're probably not going to, because the Nets constantly, what you've seen every time someone gets injured, what do? They're conservative, which is smart, especially with your big three. It don't matter what it is. If KD right now sprains his thumb, he's out at least a week, because they want to make sure. Come playoffs, they want their whole roster healthy. The Nets know that health is a big concern for them. Another concern I have, which I'm going to say this to my dying breath, Kyrie Irving. With that dude on your team, bro, it's not going to be real, because I'm going to explain this to you right now. With James gone, he's going to have to carry the load. And he loves carrying the load. Every time he's got to give up that load, what does he do? See him pouting on the sideline. I've never seen a dude pout so much on the side. He's all mad, like, not fair. He'll go to Steve Nash and starts complaining and stuff. And it's like, bro, you're the third best player on this team. If you can't get that through your skull and not understand James is better than me, and so is KD, if he can't get that through his head, troubling waters coming ahead. This is not the first time they've done that. And especially when you come into the playoffs, bro, it's going to be iffy. Now, how they're going to be in the playoffs, I don't know. Because, again.
So you don't think they'll stay in the top four? You think they'll fall into
top four, yes. I'm saying four. Because you guys are asking about top three. That was I'm not
well,
saying.
Well, when I say well, top
they,
seed,
they
I think
second.
No.
I'm not confident saying a top three seed. I'm saying four.
I'm saying four and up.
So if it's four and up, I thought it was top three. If it's four and up, then they'll be fine.
That's my criteria. Yep.
Yeah, and if they're fourth, it's not like they're fighting for fourth. Like, I think at worst they'll probably have like what, 3-game lead if they're in fourth, between fourth and fifth, maybe. But even then, like I said, like I'm not saying that they're gonna fight, but at the same time, it's gonna be very interesting for them. Cause like I said, KD with his thigh, the issue going on. They're saying it's not that big a deal. It's to the point where he's actually traveling with the team. He's going with them on their road trip. So they're probably going to bring KD back within a week. Is health a big issue? Sure. But Kyrie is an even bigger issue, because he's going to enjoy this workload he's got on him. He's going to love it. But every single time you take that workload from – look at him in Boston. He loved the workload until Terry Rozier all of a sudden started balling and Jason Tatum demanded his shots and Jaylen Brown was like, I ain't no scrub. He threw a hissy fit. This dude does that a lot, and he's done that a few times already in Brooklyn. Only difference, instead of complaining when he went to the Celtics, he just leaves. He goes,
You know, probably for a guy that throws such hissy fits, he really is an elite talent, though. He's great. You know, Friday night, he could go out there and give you 30-plus. And I think that while James is gone and Kevin is gone, I think that Kyrie Irving could do just enough to keep them in the top four seeds, because they do have a favorable schedule, not only moving forward, but just in the placement where they're at and the standings right now. It's not like they're a struggling seed at the moment. I believe they're the second seed. That's how I checked.
They're like a half game back.
So if they were to fall off a little bit, it's not like they're going from third to fourth or fourth to fifth. They'll be falling down gradually, 3, 4, 5. And I just feel like Kyrie Irving is enough of a what do you call those things, those little lifesavers that you put on babies when they're in the water, that he could keep you afloat.
A life preserver. Those little floaties.
He could keep you afloat, you know, for long enough while you get those guys back, because, you know, I remember saying when this team first got together, like the only way this team could really be defeated is – a healthy Lakers team. I think we all agreed that, besides Sander. But, you know, it's just the internal build of this team. You know, whether they stay healthy or these sabbaticals happen or whatever happened. You know, only them could really beat themselves in at the moment. Now you're witnessing James being hurt, Kevin getting hurt, you know, we already had the Kyrie sabbaticals, like I just mentioned, and these things are actually coming into play now and affecting this team.
Real quick. Jay, so sorry, real quick to cut you off, though. I understand Kyrie be having this episode pride. I get you, brother. But, dude, He's averaging 20. He's leading the team in points scored. He's leading the team in assists. That. It's not right. I hear you. And he's leading the team.
You don't hear me. At any point, have I ever said he was a scrub?
If he was giving you Patrick type. Yo,
I'm not saying he's a bum. I'm not saying he should be off the league. I'm not saying he can't be.
You make it sound like it sometimes.
JJ, when's the last time I ever said Kyrie was a bum? I've never said he's not producing.
My point is what Kyrie is. Through all the BS that we've gone through this season, the guy is still producing at a phenomenally high level.
And here's my point to that. Same thing with Joel Embiid. You can average 40 and 20. If there's a DNP, how many points are you giving me?
That's going to be my point, Tanner. That me and Pride both share. You know, he could do this, and we're expecting him to continue this into the playoffs. But what if this happens in the playoffs where you have – a seven-game series, and let's say you do miss two games on a seven-game series is a lot to miss, you know,
He'll miss games during playoffs. I don't think he'll do all this during playoffs.
Because remember, no one
thought he would go on his sabbaticals during the season.
I know who we're dealing with.
And he's doing it. That's the only thing. My really concern, the reason I don't like the sabbaticals is because he's going to go on his thing. In the playoffs, the thing is, when you leave, that makes everyone look at you funny. And the more you do that, the more you leave, the more you threaten to leave, the more you throw, they go look at you funny. In the playoffs, think about it. In the playoffs, Kyrie's going to want the ball in his hands. Let's say, heaven forbid, KD ends up going out. Because honestly, that could happen. That, like, of all of them, KD has the potential of end up being out for a series. Kyrie's going to go, you know what? I want the ball. They go look at him like, dude, what do you mean give you the ball? They go start looking at him funny. I don't know if it was last week. I think it was last week. Kyrie was on the sidelines talking to these dudes and trying to rile them up. And you got Joe Harris, who looks like a Walmart Gordon Hayward, looking at him like, why are you talking? You got him looking at you. You got Claxton looking at you like, bro, I'll throw you out this arena so fast. You already got – Claxton's a – if I'm not mistaken, I think he's a rookie. You know what I mean? So you already got dudes looking at you funny already.
My biggest deal about Kyrie and the sabbaticals is more or less not when they happen, but how he approached them, because it was to the point where Steve Nash didn't even know what was going on. And he's the head coach. And I mean, we're talking about Kyrie Irving, who literally said himself, we don't really need a coach. You know, like we could do this, but – you know, nonetheless, you know, this Brooklyn team is talented, and I do expect them, even at the worst, don't make the playoffs, and we'll see how it goes. You know, I'm really excited. But the NFL's, you know, a little far away, guys, but before we get the actual season, we get the schedule, and we all get excited because we get to see who our teams play, mm-hmm. where we're traveling to, what home game can we go see. So mm-hmm. I'm excited, guys, and because the NFL is so great with their storylines, there's always a matchup you want to see every year. So, Pride, give me a couple games that you wouldn't mind seeing this season.
So, obviously, the most generic ones people going throughout, they're going to want to see the rematch between Kansas City and Tampa Bay. Some people even curious about the rookies, like, yo, I want to see Trevor Lawrence and wherever Justin Fields ends up. But I'm thinking the long game, right? So, the first game I'm genuinely curious about, I'm going to say the Bucks and the Colts. So, last year, a lot of people are saying the Colts were a quarterback away. And even I was saying it, they're a quarterback away from being legitimate Super Bowl contenders. Now, they got that guy. They got that guy in Carson Wentz. Supposedly, he's going to come. He's going to bring
that guy.
Right. I'll put the quotation on it. Because, again, you don't know what Carson you got.
You never know.
But them against the Bucks, That's the perfect way to figure out, because again, you guys were a quarterback away, JJ, as a Colts fan, you guys were a quarterback away from winning it. Now are being legit contenders. Now imagine.
Yeah, I believe
you guys are legit contenders now. Imagine you guys facing against the Bucs. Now that'll show you our Carson.
Well, to your point, Pride, not only the Colts themselves, you know, we have the game against the Buccaneers, but once you become the championship, the champion, you're everybody's measuring stick. So not only mm-hmm. do the Colts feel that way, but so do the 16 other teams that will also play them, Pride.
Right, but again, of all those 16 teams, which team was a quarterback away from being legit contenders? You see what I'm saying? That's why I'm kind of looking at this a little differently, because you guys had the defense, you guys had the running game. By the way, fantasy football, I'm getting Jonathan Taylor again. I'm calling him right now. I need him.
Real quick question: Carson Wentz is on the Patriots?
No, he's on the Colts.
I thought you meant Patriots.
I didn't say we.
I'm just messing with you guys.
I was about to kill myself before I'm a Colts fan. No way.
I hope you got your chuckle in anyway.
but yeah, honestly, I think that's going to be a good game. It's going to be a battle basically between two teams who have good offenses and good defenses. So it's really going to come down to like the little things you guys do. So honestly, that's one game I'm kind of very curious. And another one, this is going to make people look at me weird because I don't know. I was looking at everything, I was like, this is actually a team I'm kind of curious about. The Cardinals, right? I want to see them against the Packers. I want to see how legit this defense really is. Because everyone is saying, yo, this defense is top two in the league. And I'm like, I haven't even played a snap. What are we doing, bro? Draft isn't even here. What do you mean this is a top two team? What is going on, bro?
Like, the Cardinals defense?
Yes, the Cardinals defense. Like, they're saying, just because.
Oh, they got JJ Watt. And now they're world beaters.
Right, so now everyone's like, oh, my God, this is a team. And I'm like, okay, well, I get it. That's cool. But, you know, 35 miles per hour, stop doing 60. We got to chill out a little bit. We need to actually see them against a quality team, which I'll put on the Packers. Now, why did I mention the Packers? Aaron Rodgers is doing that whole Jeopardy thing, right? And he made it known, bro, this is what I want to do afterwards. Like, if I had to retire today, tomorrow, I'm filming Jeopardy. Right. And he did he did like 2 weeks of recordings for him, and he actually did pretty good. He's actually quite comical. I kind of like him as it.
He did okay. Yeah.
Right. You know, I like them, you know. But this now asks, like, is this this potentially could be Aaron Rodgers' final elite year? That's a possibility. Now, do I think it'll be that? No, but it's a legit possibility because think about it. The way he plays and his injury history, mm-hmm. one hit will send him not out of here. Not out of Green Bay, not out of Wisconsin. Bro, they might send this dude out the country, bro. That's how much on thin ice in terms of getting hit. I think that's where Aaron Rodgers is right now. Like, and again, right now, I think this is Green Bay's last year to make a legit Super Bowl appearance. Like, this is it. After this, you're kind of going to have to go, like, is Jordan Love ready? Like, you know what I mean? They're going to have to have a Bill Belichick type of mentality where – yeah, you probably have one more good year in you, but I would rather trade that out to have two decent years with this kid to build him up. Because again, that receiving core is still kind of young. Basically, the only piece you really got to swap out would be Aaron Rodgers if they choose to do it. You know, and I don't know. I just think that's going to be a good measuring stick for the Cardinals. Is it going to be a close game? Is it going to be a blowout? Is it going to be a come from behind? There's just so many things. Because at the same time, we now get to see, because now that they got AJ Green, which again, people are saying it's a great pickup. And I do like the pickup. I just don't think it's that great considering that AJ Green, you know what I mean? Like, he puts his cleats on and he's already up the game. You know what I mean? So that to me is kind of like a little, whoa, you know, like that's not like, I like AJ Green. Bro, I like AJ Green, bro. I really do. But at the same time, it's like, no matter how much I like you, I got to put this in. And exactly, and the thing is, and with the way he plays receiver, same thing with Aaron Rodgers. You take that one lick to the chops, you're not going to be able to recover as you used to. So I'm definitely going to have to say them. I'm going to have to say the Packers taking on Cardinals. I think that'll be a good matchup. It'll be a good measuring stick to see in terms of the Packers, do we still have it? And then in terms of the Cardinals, did we finally get it? So Those if I have to pick, those are going to be my two games. And notice how I'm not being a homer, and I didn't pick anything about New England. I just want that thrown out there. Because I don't want no one coming for me for that.
So, what was the first?
So, the first one, I'm going to go the Bucks with the Colts. And then the second one, I'm going to do Arizona versus Green Bay.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm excited about those games, you know, those perks to watch those games when they come. So, I'm going to be excited for those two games. Guys, I'm very excited we got the NFL back, man. It's probably the best.
Don't say that, because now you're making it seem like it's next week. And it's not next week. I know, man.
But it's almost here. It's almost here. I can take it. But that's you a know, big guys, tease, Andrew. It really is. And I believe that the NFL is also gonna be making steps towards, you know, filling up the stadiums, not full capacity, but have type of resemblance of the fans back, which you know, when we talked about the UFC having the fans back, you know, I love that. I love having the fans there, so I'm very excited for that, guys. Two games that I'm very interested in, guys. The first game, at the Colts, I'm going to pick a Colts game as well, right? I'm picking the Colts versus the Dolphins. And the reason being that is kind of like similar to what Arizona and Green Bay, where it's like the Dolphins are now with this game. They got Tua. A full off season of training and not rehabbing, depending on who the Dolphins at in the draft. Supposedly they're gonna pick up Kyle Pitts. I mean, if they have a dude like Kyle Pitts with that in this game, you know, I would like to see the progression of Tua with that weapons. I'm looking forward to the Dolphins, and also these are two teams, Colts and Dolphins, that had top five defenses last year. The Dolphins had a top three defense last year. The Colts had a top five. These are two defenses that are going to, you know, they're going to be battling out to see who's the baddest defense out of the two. And both teams had defenses. You got one team with Darius, always in the top five in tackles when he's healthy. And you got that defense led by Flores, a prodigy out of Bill Belichick. Those defense out of reach, that defense. And they're only getting better. Carson Wentz. For the Colts, playing a defense like the Miami's defense, that's going to be a big test for him. Reed, is he the right guy? Is he the MVP caliber quarterback that he was when I was coaching him in Philly? Because now Frank Reich I'm both teams are come to that game. Going into that game should be a banger. Great defenses. Good young quarterbacks. You quarterback that's trying to find himself again, and you're trying to find himself. Period. So I think that's going to be a really good game. My second game, I'm going to keep it in the AFC South. It might be a little cliche, but I'm excited because I'm really excited to see who's the better quarterback in the draft at that moment. I got Jacksonville versus the Indianapolis versus the 49ers. Taking Lawrence, that's set, done, set it and forget it. So I'm excited to see what he can do, but I'm also excited to see if the 49ers would draft Fields, then that's a quarterback clash that I'm excited to see if at that time when they play each other, Fields is playing, because I know Garoppolo is playing, and I know Garoppolo most going to have the start job, but in the NFL, got to know. So I'm excited to see those two matchups. The Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, they've been irrelevant since AFC title they had. Ever since that AFC title run, guys, they just don't know how to win anymore. Everybody's saying that Lawrence is the savior and the almighty Lord. Dude,
see?
I'm sure he's talented. I'm sure he's a really good quarterback. But I just don't – about Sunshine, guys, in his first, I know he has all the talent. I just don't believe he is the end all, be all, solve all for Jacksonville. Jacksonville's a place where up and down they need help. Starting at the quarterback, that's a great place to start with. But I just don't think Lawrence is enough to make Jacksonville relevant in that division. I could be wrong. That's why I think against the 49ers. Hopefully Fields is playing by then, and we can see a little bit of what's to come in the future. So yeah, those are two games that I'm most excited to see. Chris, I didn't pick the Cowboys game either.
I mean, why would you? They're not very fun to watch recently. But No, I love you. I mean, you guys still won't get the views. You guys do great on the ratings, so whatever. But nah, both those games are great games.
If ratings won championships, ratings championships, we win every year.
Never lost. Never lost.
Never lost.
Nah, but you know, Sander, you know, you took a little slight jab at me because you know I'm a half Colts, half Patriot fan. And that's right. I'll take the heat for it. I don't care. That's just the way my heart is built. It's two shades of blue. So, you know, seeing the Patriots in this version coming into this year is something that I'm actually really looking forward to because I'm really excited to see what version of the Patriots we're going to get this year because it's a completely different team than they were last year. Let's just call it what it is. You know, a lot of guys are coming back from the opt-outs and the free agency splash that Bill Belichick made.
They spent that
stimmy. All of that stimmy money. He spent all of it. So, you know, he went out and he went shopping. So one of the games I'm very excited for, I want to see how this Patriots team matches up with the Bills because right now the Bills are on top of the AFC East. And it's looking like they might be in that position for a few more years because let's just call it this. Josh Allen, at worst, boy's a beast. He's a monster. I think that his upside is still growing. And when they got to pay him, he's going to make a pretty penny. So I think that right now it's really going to be a challenge for the Patriots and Belichick to see is, how am I going to stop this kid? How am I going to out-coach Sean McDermott? Because he's a pretty damn good coach as well. So I think that that coaching matchup is going to be pretty good in itself. And I also do think that seeing how the rosters match up, knowing that it's going to they have two matchups at least in the regular season, and I can see it potentially also being a playoff matchup, considering I think both teams are going to be really good this season. It could be a possibility where we have three teams out of the AFC East going into the playoffs between Buffalo, Miami, and the Patriots. All depends how it plays out, guys. I'm not sure. But I do want to get to my second one real fast. I'm going to be the cheese ball because I've always wanted to see this game. It was supposed to be a Super Bowl, and it has never happened. But the Chiefs versus the Packers would be the funnest display of freaking air slinging I'd ever watch. Between Patrick Mahomes boy and Aaron Rodgers, they might be like 1,000 yards thrown together. I don't care about no defense.
Can you imagine?
Tyreek, go get it. And see Devontae. The
score's going to be like 57-55.
I'm going to break your heart, but you remember that Broncos and Cowboys game maybe close to 10 years ago when Peyton and Romo just threw a display? I want to see that. I want to see that. I want to see that kind of that arsenal assault where it's just in the air. And I'm sorry I deflated you, Sander. I know you guys put up 48 points and still lost at home. But that's just the way that the cookie crumbles sometimes. And you were playing against Peyton Manning, so no shame there. But I really would love just to see Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. You know, they do the commercials together to have chemistry as is. I just think that them sharing a field would be an amazing show for all of us guys.
Yeah, 100%. I just want to ask one thing real fast. So correct me if I'm wrong, but like, are you trying to imply that Justin Fields is going to take the job from Jimmy G?
Yes.
Do you think that's when? Yeah. When? I need. Are you in this too, JJ? Because I'm gonna need some skills. I say Jimmy G.
Is he gonna Russell Wilson him?
Start of the season.
No. When do you think it'll happen? When do you think it'll happen? By trade. No. Not by. You gotta pick a week.
By week eight.
You said
by
week eight.
Week nine.
No. It's gotta happen in the week y'all calling it. So not by week eight, you know, because I could be a cheese ball and say by week 16.
At the beginning of week nine, Justin Fields will be starting for the San 49ers.
You got week nine. Ooh, JJ, who you got?
In that scenario, well, I'm not going to say because I'm not sure that he's going to land in the 49ers, but I do anticipate that if he were to end up there, it all depends because you might call it week nine, Sander, but what if Garoppolo goes down week three? So
I'm talking about ignoring injury. I know it's hard to do that in this game, especially with a quarterback like Jimmy G. Yeah, especially with Jimmy G. I'm talking about because there's a lot of scrolling sentiments that if Fields is picked by the Niners, he's snatching that job from him. Like, they're saying that Jimmy G won't finish the season. I'm the oddball in the corner saying Jimmy G's going to finish the season as long as he's not injured. If he gets injured, then he lost a job for good.
We could discuss this after May 12th, and I can actually look at the 49ers schedule, and I'll let you know how they do. You're right. Make sure you like him.
Hopefully Fields gets drafted by the 49ers, too.
That'd be a great spot for him. Perfect. I agree. Make sure you follow our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports Guys. Also, make sure you guys follow us on our website, clovercrestmedia.com/StirThePotSports. Make sure you follow us on Spotify. Download all our episodes. Look up CMG Sports and bang, bang. Stir the Pot Sports will be there. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett, Sanders Sanchez. See you Friday. Yeah.